In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xennial. But what is a Xennial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xennial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
You know, I was just thinking about something.
What's up?
It's a funny thought. I'm giving away a little bit of our production stuff, the way we do things.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I love it when you're watching a show that has to do, or a movie that has to do with like something blasting off into space, right?
Right.
And they're ready to do the countdown, right?
Yeah.
And they say, take off, T minus, whatever, whatever. Okay. You know what T minus means? Take off minus. So why do you say take off T minus? It's redundant. It's a stupid, redundant thing.
So it's take off minus because it's before
takeoff
time?
Takeoff T minus, yes. So it's like T minus 20 seconds. You are at takeoff time minus 20 seconds.
Okay.
But when you say takeoff T minus, you're literally saying takeoff minus.
That's weird.
It is. It's just nobody they put it in there because most people don't understand what T minus means. And it comes to mind because when we explain for people that are listening and are not sitting here, which is everybody but us, when we're preparing to start recording, we have timers that we watch on our phones mainly for if we make any mistakes, we say anything wrong, we cough too much, some idiot bumps the table and spills their coffee. We want to make sure we have a timer set up so that we can...
Shut up, James.
No. I have to talk because you can't right now. You're not hooked up to anything. We have this timer set up so that Mike can take a little diligent. He can take diligent notes as to what time we make a mistake of some type so he can go back in and edit it out so you're not hearing us coughing and hacking and saying maybe inappropriate things. Also, when
For the record, I just spilled the coffee.
Yes, of course. Again. Which is I almost, it's one of those things where I almost wish we were filming just so that we could have that harken back. It's kind of fun. We're at the end of the year. This is the last one of the year we're recording. It'll come out on the it comes out on the 2nd of January, so it'll be the first one out in the new year, but it's the last one of the year we're recording. And that harkens back to the original first thing we put up, I think, on YouTube is our advertisement, which was Mike bumping the table and knocking over the coffee.
Something's never changed, man.
No, it's just... It's just part of how we are.
Yeah.
It's part of what we do. I would feel
that worked out. That worked out real well.
I would feel really bad if at some point or another we didn't have a moment of near clumsiness.
Yeah. You know, it's just kind of part of the characteristics.
It would seem inappropriate and wrong. So this is the last episode we are recording before the end of the year. It's kind of been interesting to do this. That's been a big part of my 2019 has been recording this. We only do one day
I think
a week.
But it's one of the few consistent things that I've done for the entire time. Now, I have accomplished quite a bit in 2019, especially studio-wise. And I have, you know, everybody's got to, if you're working, you got to have a side hustle right now. So it's not the only thing that I do.
No.
Studio stuff, for sure.
And I know you have a bunch of projects in the mix that are hopefully going to be coming to fruition in the new year.
Yeah, my calendar is already filling up. I'm really digging that because I wasn't quite sure that it was going to.
Nice.
And now I've got a few on the way, and it's going to be real nice, real
That's just the recording projects that mm-hmm. you're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about you have a couple of personal things that you're working on, personal projects. Stuff,
yeah.
There's a project for the band that you
there's
have.
There's a project for that. Well, I have two separate projects for two separate bands that I'm involved
in. Wow.
That is going to be part of, I'm going to be spinning some plates. I have a band that's hitting me up. That I did a recording for, like an album for, that's not out yet, but is well on its way.
Yeah.
And they are hitting me up for another, hey, let's do another one. I'm
like, all right,
let's do it, yeah.
The first one isn't out, and they want to do another one.
First one isn't out yet, and they're ready to do another one.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm all about that. I'm getting hit up by a couple of other bands right now. And my big thing, so one of the big things that I wanted to do this upcoming year for 2020 is try to concentrate as much as I can on an independent business of recording. Because, you know, I'm doing the engineering for this, and I've done stuff for a long time.
I mean, honestly, how many, just off the top of your head, mm-hmm. how many albums have you recorded for various bands? Don't include, let's say don't include. Okay, how many projects have you? Yeah, don't include the three albums that you recorded for your band.
No, right. I've done at least. Let's see. I did a demo and an album. I did a demo and a EP. I did. I've done some other recording project stuff that haven't come out. I've done at least six or seven in
just
the last
year.
No. This last year was I spent a lot of time on one.
Okay.
But that was full fledged recording, production, mixing, the whole thing, like from beginning to end. And I've got some other stuff that's on the way as well. I actually did this really cool thing for Christmas for my family.
I heard this last time I was here.
Yeah, year before last. So back in 2018, back in May of 2018, my grandfather passed away, and he is the first generation of the musician side of my family.
Nice.
So my grandfather, so my dad, and I all are involved in music somehow. Yeah,
being involved in music is definitely a family trait.
And all of us are guitar players.
Makes sense.
Guitar player singers, actually. Every one of us. He was a guitar player singer. My dad is a guitar player singer. I'm a guitar player singer. Like
I do want to make the comment. I did hear your dad singing.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good singer.
Oh, thanks, man.
He's a pretty good singer. I would almost say a little better than you, but he's a pretty good singer.
He's got some... Yeah, well, he's a better guitar player than I am too. I'll be real.
I'm
a solid rhythm player, but he can dance on frets, man.
Yeah, his lead work and that stuff you were having me listen to, that was something else.
And that's all one run live. Like that's all. I mean,
well, and that's explained. Great. What I was listening to, this is a CD that you'd put together from.
So this is what had happened. So yeah. I kind of tended to concentrate on the more technical aspect of working with music, live music, and studio stuff. My dad is not as concentrated on that, but he was the performer. He was a performer.
Yeah.
So we all have our like niches in the middle of that. But what we did, because my grandfather was such a fan of my dad's band. My dad was in a country band for probably about 15 years. And they were a working touring band. Like they...
And
got into a van and a trailer and did stuff all through. Like they would play Vegas and then they'd play, you know, L.A. and then they would go up and they'd play Sacramento and play in Oregon and all that. So
and this isn't all over the place. Just for anybody listening, this is an old school country style of band.
Yeah.
This is like steel guitar, like the new, type stuff.
The newest thing they played was probably from like 1993.
Yeah, I mean this is not your standard, Toby Keith and Luke Bryan bro country that you hear on the radio.
No, not
nowadays.
The new stuff. No, this is
twangy.
Yep.
These guys are
Merle Haggard, George Strait.
Yeah, this is blues influenced, rockabilly influenced.
They would do, they would do some country rock too. They would do southern rock, a lot of it. So they would play some Skinner. They would play some, they were Skinner to Alabama. They would do the Judds. They would do.
Yeah, this is, and male and female singer.
Mm-hmm.
And
multiple singers. They would flip back and forth between a bunch of them.
Got some piano thrown in there. Yep. I mean, this is really when older people, my age, Mike's age, mm-hmm. and older than us, when we're talking about country music, this is the type of country music we're talking about.
Yeah.
Not the newer garbagey country music. Hootie needs There's to go lot. Back to be with the Blowfish, not to sing about wagon wheels. Okay.
Wait, he covered Wagon Wheel?
No, there's a song that has some kind of a wagon wheel reference. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, Dylan wrote that.
Because I don't know.
Well,
of
it.
No, I don't know if it's that. It was that specific song.
Oh, okay.
I try not to pay attention to when Hootie sings country music. Oh, okay. Hootie needs to get back with the Blowfish. Yes, I know his name isn't Hootie, but I'm going to call him that forever because I know him as Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yep.
But anyway,
so in my grandfather's honor, in his memory, my dad's a lot of members from my dad's old band got together.
Nice.
And this
was sadly after your grandfather passed, so he didn't get the opportunity to see it.
Not this.
Okay.
This was after he passed, but that's what it was, in memorial to him specifically. And there were a couple of, there were a lot of guys that were on that stage eventually. Like, just a lot of, it was a revolving door.
Yeah.
Had a few guitar amps up there. You know, had a drum kit, had a piano, had all that kind of stuff. And it was cool. Like, we rented out a little room, like a little performance room or rehearsal room over at this art school down in Elk Grove.
Okay, and, nice.
So we decided to, so we Dad hit me up. He's like, hey, do you think you could, you know, you think you could mix the show? I'm like, yeah, I'll get on the board, sure. And then I had just recently purchased a digital board that allowed me to multi-track record. And they, the only reference to any recordings that they ever had as a working band were two-track board recordings that they would, my dad would actually do this because he's that meticulous technical kind of guy. He ended up working over at Intel for like 22 years after he quit playing music. And so he was always into that technical part of it.
But a two-track recording off the board? Two-track
recording off the board. Yeah. What he would do, get this. God. He used to do this back in the day. They would go to the bar. They would set up early. They would make sure that they were good. And in the middle of sound check, he would take a cassette tape and he would hook it to the mixer and two-track from the mixer to a cassette tape. And he would hit record. They'd do a little quick jam, all that kind of stuff. He would take the tape out to the car. He'd pop it into his car and go, that guitar needs to come up, that needs to come down, that needs to do this, that needs to do this. And he would use a tape to equalize out the board.
Wow.
And then the amps and the room sound in general, plus the board, he would get this, an ideal mix from like old analog board equipment.
Wow.
Where the drums were, you know, mic'd a little bit and all that, but they would have decent two-track recordings. He's got a bunch of cassette tapes that have a bunch of decent two-track recordings. So he went through like 10, 12 years ago and went through all his tapes. But those are decent, but they weren't like professionally recorded.
Yeah.
So I brought my digital board.
Especially with only a two-track recording, the drums have to sound it's still going to be muddy. No matter how good you set it up, that drum is going to be muddy. You're not going to hear the real snap of the drum.
Right, exactly. So I was like, you know what, man? I can do this. Like, this is the only opportunity I'm ever going to have with this. And I did live sound for them at a birthday bash for my dad, but I didn't have this opportunity. And I tried to record it. But now I'm like, okay, now I can go full-fledged. So I brought mics, and I brought a full board, and I put mics on the amps, and I made sure everything was sounding great. And then I multi-track recorded the whole thing. So direct recording of all of the, like, mics on the drums, like a whole deal. I did the studio thing in this tiny little rehearsal room that we were able to host, like, you know, 30 people.
Let me tell you something. Admittedly, I am not an expert. The expert on sound engineering is sitting across the table from me. I am not an expert on these things, but I do know what I like to hear, what sounds pleasant. And I also do know, to a pretty great extent, the difference between live sound, studio recorded sound, and then something that they did back, they did previous to the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
They would often record artists in studio, but fuzz it up a little bit to make it sound like it was live.
One major giveaway of if you ever were to, and I doubt you will ever do this, but idea of to hear what that actually is. And they still work that studio magic in with, even with live albums, they still do it. But one of the most obvious ones, if you really listen for it, Song Remains the Same by Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You can tell what was going on was, like, I think Jimmy was strung out. And John Bonham, the drummer, was just drunk. And so what they did, and this show was filmed at like Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And it was like a two-night show they did over at Madison Square Garden. And they were smashed. So the guitar player and the drummer were just like not doing it. So what they ended up having to do was they salvaged the footage, and then they dubbed in studio a bunch of stuff. And it's one of the most patched live albums like ever done.
And you can tell it's
matched. When you really listen for it, you can tell when the tone of the drums changes, because it doesn't sound like a stadium anymore. It sounds like a clean studio, and they're just matching it up with footage. And these engineers and these video editors and these directors and the director that worked for this film did a fantastic job. But if you're an engineer, your experience is ruined because you can see all of it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't doubt that.
So this was that's a relative idea, and a lot of those are done. This show is pretty much raw. What we did, it was just a raw rehearsal, and I took the best songs out of the rehearsal.
And I can tell you, it sounds, you can hear the live sound in the sense of, you can hear almost the energy that you get from a live sound.
Yeah.
This is reminiscent to me of some of the better bands that record live albums.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our shared love of Metallica. When you get a Metallica live album, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because their equipment that they are running everything through is just state of the art.
Totally.
Top notch. And so all the sounds are clean and clear. There's nothing muddy in it. This sounds to that level of the drums are perfect. The piano is perfect in there. And piano, what you said it was like a mini grand or something?
Yeah, it was a baby grand sitting on the stage. And it was right next to the drum kit. And there was a lot of dialing I had to do to get that out.
The sound in that is amazing. And then the guitars are crisp and clean, but they have that feel of... It's not a perfectly polished feel. It's an organic, real feel.
Yeah.
Especially in like the lead stuff, you can almost feel the fingers moving on the fretboard.
Yeah.
Listening to it. It's amazing.
Not to say when I say that there were some things I had to do to get dialed out. What I'm talking about is, you know, there's drums that show up in the piano mic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's part of the live thing. Part of the live experience. Not necessarily. Just try to get a clean recording of a good performance.
Yeah.
Because the performance was already there.
The performance was and the recordings of it. What I listened to here at your place, that was some pretty good stuff. You were able to get that to the right people.
Yes.
And
they love it.
They love it.
They love
Fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they love it. So they're like they really love the recording, and it's nice to have like basically what it was is. I had, you know, family members and some of the performers were asking, hey, you got that recording? Because I told them all, I was like, hey guys, guess what? I recorded this whole, like, it was like 3 or 4 hours worth show.
Wow.
And I made a whole CD out of it. So
it was
really cool. So I pulled some good stuff and I was able to finally get it to them and they all love it. So,
well, I thought it sounded great. That was fantastic. Cool. But that goes to, you know, what you're trying to do in the new year.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
But it has been a heck of a year, hasn't it? There's been so many things that have happened here in 2019.
There has been.
I mean, we've had a lot of, we don't go into it on here, but there's been a lot of political things going on.
Yeah.
A lot of societal changes going on. A lot of things that I'm hoping, I think I was reading, you know, all these different sites, the websites, the radio stations, they all have their end of the year countdown things. And I think I was reading one that had to do with all the slang that was big in 2019. And all I have to say is I'm so glad that I'm out of touch with slang because, I mean, there's been some awful stuff coming.
I mean, you got any examples?
Well, there's been a few that have been around for a few years now.
They're coming back around?
No, they were even bigger.
Because I'm kind of seeing that in fashion right now.
I'm ready
to see the 70s fashion come back. That was like my favorite part of the 90s when the 70s fashion kind of came back.
I'm waiting to see the 90s fashion fully come back.
I don't know, dude. I'm afraid of 90s fashion.
I love 90s fashion.
Dude, I do not want to see another pair of parachute pants again.
Screw you. Those are comfy. Actually, what was even more comfy was the not so much the parachute pants, but at the end of the 90s, the super wide leg jeans.
JNCOs, man.
Yes, those are so comfy.
Those are back. JNCOs are back.
Are the bowling shirts back?
The bowling shirts are not back yet. I want
the bowling shirts.
I liked
back.
The bowling shirts. I wore bowling those. Shirts well into like 2007.
I had to stop wearing them once I started getting fat.
Yeah, they do not fit well if you're a bigger guy.
If you're Gabriel Iglesias, you can get away with it. But
right.
And half of his are bowling shirts, half of his are Hawaiian shirts, and he can get away with it because he's funny and he does voices.
Right.
I mean, he's got like the pingeable cheeks on his face. I just look like a too young depressed Santa. So I mean, I can't
Santa on vacation.
Yeah, and see, I could pull that off. If I wore like furry red shorts and then the Hawaiian shirt, I could pull that off.
That would totally work.
That might be my Halloween costume.
Santa
next year.
On vacation?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that might work. Hawaiian shirt, furry red shorts. I think I could pull that off.
Yeah, just walking around with like a piña colada and a pineapple and a pair of sunglasses.
Yep.
That sounds great, man.
I wouldn't
you should
have
do
to,
that.
I literally wouldn't have to do anything else. I mean, the beard is there.
Yeah.
But there's I was today years old when I found this out.
Yeah.
That's one that
you don't like that?
You're guilty of that one.
That
was a big one this
I
year.
I am. I like those.
I still like those. That one's like, I don't know, maybe a better way you could put it. Or, you know, I don't know. It seems stupid to me. It seems silly to me. But
I'm that it's funny.
I can say this is one of the first times I'm actually interested to see what happens in the new year. Normally, New Year's doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, I'm not a New Year's party guy. The only thing it means is like, okay, great. I got to make sure to write the correct year on whatever I'm signing. I saw a meme
earlier this year calling for it, and I hope it happens. Just so, like, Barbara Walters should be there for the ball drop.
Oh, God.
Just really? So she could say, I'm Barbara Walters, and this is 2020.
I've seen the memes of the guy's dad who's going to retire next year.
Uh-huh.
Because he's an optometrist.
Yeah.
And he'll be retiring in 2020.
Oh my goodness!
I've seen a few of those. There's the
most. Did you see the Ramones one?
Yes. I was just about to reference that.
As soon as it hits midnight tonight.
Tonight, 2020, 24 hours ago. Yeah. Or to go.
To go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't want to be sedated. Thank you. No. Normally, when it comes to New Year's, I used to when I was younger. I used to think of what work I might have to do. Cause I was at that point, I was the one that didn't have a kid when I was, you know, young, first in the workforce. Mm-hmm. So I was always the one working on holidays and,
same dude.
I remember
that's just part of the retail racket.
It is. And I actually did go first ever time I went to a New Year's Eve party.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I went to a New Year's Eve party. The year before I actually held a New Year's Eve party. I'll talk about that one in a minute. But the first one I went to was at a buddy of mine's, I met you after I did my short-lived band. When I had a short-lived band and I wrote two songs and did two songs. Technically, he was the lead singer of my band for that short amount of time. Anyway, I was at his house for New Year's, and it just happened to be from 1999 going into 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So it was during the whole Y2K, everybody is afraid kind of thing. We didn't know if people were like, we don't know if the lights are going to shut off when it hits New Year's.
You've got to see
all that stuff.
Complete side note. You've got to see this little sidebar. I'm telling this to everybody else here. Anybody who follows, do you know who Cinemassacre is on YouTube?
No.
You ever seen videos? You ever seen the Angry Video Game Nerd? You know who that guy is?
No.
Okay. They just did a review of Y2K bug videos that came out. One of them was freaking narrated by Leonard Nimoy.
Oh God.
Oh, it's great.
I'm gonna have
it's
to,
great.
I'm
it's gonna it's have a full like review. Like they do like three of them and how the disasters come in and it's going to be like
seriously,
all this crazy crap.
We were there. There was people were really worried about this. It's like all it is.
I was like,
there's nothing.
Why? Yeah. It's like it's going to turn to zeros. You don't lose hard drive information because something turns to zeros.
No.
That's not the way it works.
And I'm sure it can be whatever. I'm sure there were some moments where some computer programs maybe were only using a 2-digit. Year format
and they went ham on trying to upgrade as many of those as possible.
Okay, so you upgrade it to a 4-digit year format. Once it's upgraded to a 4-digit year format, there should not be any issues whatsoever.
No, there shouldn't be, but they were saying that there were so many computers that were still stuck on the 2-digit year format.
But
that doesn't mean you're going to lose everything. Just because you have data as of a date and it exists. And then the clock it sets back doesn't mean that the data disappears, but that's what they thought was going to happen. Computers are going to freak out and go, I don't know what to do with this information. It's later than the date that's... it's permanent data.
Yeah, this is people's just complete misunderstanding
of
how computers work.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because they were still... You have to imagine people listening. They were still mystery boxes that... even then, there were only so many websites... where you could find porn on the internet.
Right.
Informational websites outweighed porn websites by something like 100-to-1 factor at that point. That is not the case today. So this is the infancy of the internet. This is back when
we could use this for so many good things.
This is back
and then
when,
porn.
This is back when we were seeing Sandra Bullock movies and marveling at the fact that you could order pizza online in the Sandra Bullock movies. The net.
Oh, I was going to say, she didn't do that in Demolition Man.
No, she ordered pizza online in the net, and it was like a huge deal. Oh my God, ordering pizza online? Hello, how many of us order food online?
This is back when people still thought Hackers was a viable movie. It's a good movie for its sensationalism, but not for its. Yeah, it is not accurate in any means.
I love Matthew Lillard's hair in that movie.
Oh yeah, totally. Dude, honestly, like, he's one of the most, okay, so here's what I get about Matthew Lillard. It's almost like he's one of the, he's been so reduced in grade, but everything you see him in, you like.
Dude, he was in
every role of his I've liked. I haven't found a role of his that I don't like in any movie he's done.
He was in a TV show not too long ago.
Really?
The Good Wife.
He was in The Good Wife?
He was in The Good Wife. She's a lawyer in there.
Yeah.
In the show, Juliana Margulies. She's one of his clients. He's one of her clients. One of her clients. He's a musician.
Cool.
And he's getting sued for the songs that he's writing because of contract stuff. You'd probably find these interesting because
this
of the different
amazing,
contract
yeah.
stuff in it. But he's playing an acoustic guitar and singing songs and stuff. And he's a dad with a kid, and it's understated, but at the same time, it's still Matthew Lillard. So you still expect him to make funny faces and do crazy crap, and he does. And it's great because it's like literally what Matthew Lillard grew up to be as an adult. You know
cool,
what I mean?
Man.
It's humorous. And of course, who doesn't love him as Shaggy?
He's amazing. Okay, favorite meme of 2019? Shaggy memes. Shaggy memes were awesome.
Are you talking about the superpowered Shaggy
yeah,
memes?
Yeah, superpowered
okay.
Shaggy.
That was early in the year.
It kept coming back. People kept bringing it back.
Really, I haven't seen those ones recently.
Superpowered Shaggy early. Memes are awesome.
I mean, because now we're ending the year on all the Baby Yoda memes.
Yeah, that's true.
Although now that you've seen it, just so everybody knows, I gave Mike a small vision. He has not seen Rise of Skywalker yet.
No.
I've been very good about keeping my spoilers to him to a minimum.
He's been extremely, extremely good about that.
It hurts. It causes me physical pain. But I did show him a few little clips of the character Babu Frick, which all the clips he saw really doesn't inform anything.
It doesn't
in the
give
story.
Me any context.
But
character's cute.
The character's cute. Cute little short guy.
He's
kind of
like a mix between a Porg and Maz Kanata all at one time.
Interestingly, do you know who does the voice for that?
No.
You've watched the Harry Potter movies, right?
Yes.
You remember the ghost that lives in the bathroom, Moaning Myrtle? Her name is Shirley Henderson, the actress.
No.
She's the ghost that lives in
what movie was it? I've seen a few of them.
Chamber of
seen
Secrets.
All of them.
It's the bathroom where they find the cave that go down to the secret chamber.
Is that
the Chamber
third
of Secrets?
One?
Second one.
Second one.
Chamber of Secrets.
God, I've
second
seen
one.
It. It's been forever ago. I gotta see it again.
Giant basilisk.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, man. I'm lost. I apologize.
Anyway, for anybody else, it's the woman who plays
it's
Moaning
been like
Myrtle.
Forever ago.
Yeah, the woman who plays
Moaning Myrtle.
I've heard the name
Moaning Myrtle.
Yeah, she's actually the voice of Babu Frick.
Cool.
But I've seen the meme of there needing to be a sitcom of Baby Yoda and Babu Frick.
Oh, gosh.
It would be beautiful. It would be so beautiful. But yeah, Baby Yoda's the new meme. But okay, then if you like Matthew Lillard and almost everything he does, what about Wing Commander?
No, I'm him in his roles. Well, his roles themselves.
The role in Wing Commander?
Yeah.
Okay, because I it's a terrible movie, but I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Wing Commander, like the only Wing Commander that exists for me is like the PC games that still have Mark Hamill in them.
Which is funny because Mark Hamill's in those games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who plays the main role in the movie? Come on, Matthew Lillard's in it. Who plays the main role?
Hold on. Let me think. It's not Vanderbeek. It's...
Again, Matthew Lillard's in the movie, so who would be the main role? And he's the main role's best buddy.
Give me a moment. Freddie Prinze?
Yes, Freddie Prinze Jr. is the main role. Now, that's funny. That's really funny because...
I can't believe I guessed that, actually. It's been a while.
Do you know what Freddie Prinze Jr. has been doing for the last 7 or 8 years?
No.
One, he's working
I know his
for,
dad was a stand-up comedian in the 70s, right?
Well... His dad was an actor and comedian.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, his dad, tragic story with his dad. But you knew about
that,
right?
I don't
know
what happened about
it. His dad committed suicide.
Oh.
Yeah, very tragically.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to have to look that up after we're done here.
But he's had two jobs for the last 7, 8 years, 10 years or so.
Uh-huh.
He's worked for two main jobs. He's had a few TV show appearances and movie appearances, but he's had two main jobs. One, he works for WWE.
Freddie Prinze Jr. works for WWE?
Yes.
Is he a commentator?
No.
Is he a wrestler?
No, he's in charge of a story. Or not in charge, but
he's writing?
He has a job in the story department. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. I had no idea about that.
His other job?
Uh-huh.
Voice acting.
Oh, okay.
Specifically, playing the voice of Kanan Jarrus.
Who?
a Jedi in Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, nice.
So you have Freddie Prinze Jr. as a Jedi playing in Wing Commander, and Mark Hamill as a Jedi playing in Wing Commander.
Oh, that's fun.
Kind
okay.
of a fun little connection.
All right.
I would say since we're on the Matthew Lillard trip, my favorite role is his in She's All That.
It's been a while since I've seen that one.
He's watch it again. Just watch it for his role. It's amazing and beautiful.
Okay.
And there's certain songs that when I hear them now, I have to act out his part in the song. And it both amuses my wife and drives her absolutely crazy because he's so annoying in that movie. So annoying. But it's again, what you expect from Matthew Lillard.
Cool. I'm going to have to see that again. It's been a while.
It would be nice if he was the one used in the Shaggy memes as opposed to the cartoon Shaggy. Ooh, but here's the question.
Wait, what? Whoa.
Wouldn't that be cool if Matthew Lillard Shaggy was used in the memes? Or has he been?
That's who's been used in the memes.
You're right.
Yeah.
It is him in the memes, not the animated.
Yeah, what it is it's about...
I get it.
It's not necessarily about Shaggy. It's about Matthew Lillard waking up the power of Shaggy... in the memes and like basically turning him to a Dragon Ball-esque powerful character.
My mistake in forgetting.
Did anybody ever do a
Shaggy versus Shaggy the musician, the singer?
I don't think anybody did that.
That could be interesting.
I would like to see Shaggy the musician in those memes and then the two of them battle it out or something.
That would be hilarious. I actually watched him. He did a performance. Disney did one of their annual Christmas shows. He was a part of the Disney Christmas show performances.
Shaggy? It wasn't me, Shaggy?
Yes.
Could you understand anything he was saying?
When he actually talks into the microphone, no accent.
Oh, the accent's really? It's all just, oh man.
The reason that he did it is because they recently did Disney's been trying to do these live musicals, right? Yeah. They're filmed live musicals that they broadcast live, but whatever.
Is that the same ones that they did?
They did a Peter Pan, and they did...
didn't they do Sound of Music with Carrie Underwood, or was that
Disney? I think they may have done a Sound of Music.
I saw some of that. That was pretty good.
This was... They did a live Little Mermaid recently.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
I only remember two of the performers.
Oh, wait a minute. Remember... I remember that. Yeah, that was a huge controversy because she was black or something like that.
Well, no.
Wasn't she? Or was it...
They're doing a live action remake movie. This was a live musical version.
Yeah.
No, it's a whole different thing.
This is a different. Oh, so that's a different one.
Different thing.
I remember hearing something about Queen Latifah playing Ursula.
Yes,
going,
okay.
Oh my God, that sounds the best
in the musical,
casting.
In the live stage musical thing that they did, not the live action movie.
Yeah.
But in the live stage musical thing that they did, yes, Queen Latifah did the Ursula part.
Okay, because I thought I remembered hearing that people were getting all up in arms because Ariel was black. It's a big deal or
something.
That's
for the live action movie. They're two separate things.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
But, of course, they brought in Shaggy to do this live musical thing.
He was Sebastian, wasn't he?
Of course he was. Who else would he be? No, he was Scuttle.
He was Scuttle.
He was Scuttle. No, better. He was Flounder. No, yes, he was.
Yeah, Shaggy is Flounder.
Yes, that would be hilarious. But no, he was Sebastian.
And for Sebastian, they brought Wilford Brimley back from the dead.
Warning Ariel not to eat any of the sweet things.
Yeah.
No, he was Sebastian in that. So that's, he already got a connection with Disney, but then they had Sting performing at Disney World for this. And the thing is, he only performed one Christmas song. The rest of it was performing.
That's all they could afford,
songs.
I'm sure.
No, he performed three songs.
Wow.
But two of them were police songs. One Christmas song.
That's cool. He gets his royalties.
I mean, he's
just not to care.
He's just standing there being Sting, and it's like everybody else is all dancing around and moving, and he's just standing there. I'm Sting. I'm just gonna sing.
Yeah, that's all he does.
It's gonna be amazing.
Nah, that's it. When the police, I remember the police reunited a few years ago.
Doesn't even play bass anymore.
No, he's playing bass. Yeah. He's playing bass, but he's just standing there playing bass, just singing. Chilling, singing. Yeah. That's it. He's not moving around.
Yeah, there's
he's
no moving. Doing, there's
no
dancing. No,
none of that.
Standing
none
there
of that.
Doing it.
And you have oh my goodness, I can't think of the drummer's name right now. And he's he was the most expressive.
Yeah.
Still being him. All over the place, doing the bandana and all the crazy acrobatics and stuff. Yeah. And literally the drummer is the only guy that's moving on the entire stage.
Yeah, because Sting was just, he was just standing there chilling.
Guitar player was doing all right. Sting was just standing there playing and singing. And the drummer is just, what is it? I can't remember his name right now.
I've never known the name of the drummer of the Police. I just know Sting.
He's a very, well-respected drummer. I hear he's kind of a jerk, but so are like a lot of them that I hear.
But they did.
I don't know a lot of, you know, what's really funny is you never hear about a lot of nice drummers. Like, you don't hear, you hear people like Buddy Rich being a complete jerk. And you hear about, you know, Lars Ulrich, which not a lot of people necessarily respect him as a drummer in general. They just think he's a jerk. But
I mean, is he a good drummer, though? As much as we love Metallica.
That son of a gun can play the hell to a click. He can. I mean,
he can.
He can play to a click. Every album from the second album on has been on a click. And he's a good stage performer.
Yes, he is a good stage performer.
Whether
I'm not
or not
that.
He is a good drummer, he plays simplistic lines. It's not really that big of a deal because he feeds the song what it needs to have.
Yeah, I mean, he does
don't
what
expect
he does
him
what he
to
needs
be
to do.
Neil Peart. Like, he's not going to be that acrobatic. He's not going to be Joey Jordison. Don't ask him that.
Admittedly,
he doesn't have to be.
He shows respect for people that are better at the craft. I remember one time he was on, I think it was That Metal Show. Is that the one that they did for a while where they have a musical guest like lead them in and out?
Yeah, he's like the DJs from like, I think he's from like Fuse TV or something like that.
But anyway,
he did his own podcast, and That Metal Show is the podcast now, I think.
He
does interviews a lot of
Lars
people.
Lars Ulrich was on the show at one point, mm-hmm. and the musician that was leading in and out to commercials and breaks and stuff was Mike Portnoy.
Oh, man.
And Portnoy had a single bass drum in the kit that he was playing on, and he was playing the drum line from the end of One with a single bass drum, single kick, that's it. And he was hitting it all. He was hitting the double kick stuff sounds on a single kick drum.
I know what that is, actually. How you can do that. It's called swiveling. So you literally take your foot and you relax it on the drum technique, ladies and gentlemen. So you take your foot and you relax it on the pedal itself, and the pedal is sitting against the head. And then what you do is you take your heel while your foot is resting and swivel it back and forth, and your foot will naturally hit. Every time the foot swings one direction or the other,
it'll hit.
So all you're doing is da 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 da, like with your foot, and it'll hit.
He's doing that, and Lars is like standing up and clapping.
He's like one foot.
Yeah, with one, he's doing that with one drum, one everything. He's doing it with one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I mean, Lars at least gives the credit to people. Okay. We're at a break point. We'll take a break right here.
Yeah.
When we come back. I have some sports news.
Cool.
And I don't know, maybe we can talk about other things that we're looking forward to in the next year.
Sounds great.
Maybe I'll give you guys some information about what's going on in the life of James.
Cool.
We'll be back in a minute.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled Xenchron, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody.
Woohoo!
Didn't that feel like a long break? Just forever.
Forever. That whole ad.
Yeah. Very, very long ad. For ourselves.
Yeah.
Because nobody else wants to advertise with us yet.
Subscribe.
Yeah, please. Anyway, I know before the break we said we were going to talk a little bit about what is coming up for 2020, but I realized that I had not got the opportunity to fully flesh out my Y2K story. Although now thinking about it, there isn't much more to say other than I was up till like 2 in the morning. Obviously,
were you waiting for like lights to go out and sirens to go off?
It was just the
way
the New Year's party happened. It was You know, I was young at the New Year's party. I mean, I was 19, and almost everybody else there was like in their 50s because it was my friend's family that were doing the party, and so it was all a bunch of old people, and they were doing they were doing cheesy things. Write your wishes for the New Year on a piece of paper and throw it in the fire. And stuff like that.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Just weird stuff.
Write what you'd like and throw it into the fire like the note like a letter, a love letter from an ex.
I don't know. But no, it was like to like release it out as a wish or something. Like you blow out the candles on a birthday cake for a wish. I don't know. All I remember is like I was 19, so I didn't have any alcohol, and it was a fairly boring party. And moreover, I had to wake up and open up the Blockbuster at 10 o'clock in the morning the next morning. And at that point, I lived an hour away from town, my parents' house where I still lived because I was 19. So I lived an hour away from town. So I stayed at my friend's house for the night, and it never quieted down. They were up most of the night. His parents' friends and stuff partying, and so I remember waking up and getting ready to head off to work and realizing that there was nothing to eat in my friend's house for breakfast, and I ended up. If you remember the Blockbuster we worked at, there was a Bel Air right next to it.
Yeah.
So I went into Bel Air and bought a box of Golden Grahams. And I literally just snacked on the box of Golden Grahams all day throughout New Year's Day, opening the store and working. It was just fun, interesting New Year's. The year previous to that was the first time I actually really did anything on New Year's because I was, you know, when you're a kid, you don't do much. You know what I mean? Maybe you stay up and watch. Back then it was Dick Clark, and he was still too old at that point to be doing the New Year's Eve thing. But you'd watch it with your parents, maybe, and then go to bed. And that was one of the nights you got to stay up late. When I was the year previous when I was 18, I actually convinced my parents to let me have a New Year's party. But what the New Year's party consisted of at that point for me was having like 4 or 5 of my friends come over and spend the whole weekend because it was on New Year's on a weekend. And we played a 3-day game of D&D because that's how nerdy
that's long.
I am. Oh, yeah.
Is a long time.
What was freaky about it is I was actually hopped up on medication.
What kind of medication?
I had a tooth that had gone really bad. It ended up having to have a root canal on the tooth afterwards.
Out. Yeah.
Well, no, afterwards I got the root canal on the tooth. But it was bad and in the infected point like 2 days before everybody showed up. And so I was on like 2 different antibiotic pills, 2 different antibiotics, and like 3 different painkillers to try to clear up this nasty infection that was in my head while I'm still trying to put together this D&D game and run this D&D game.
No.
So I was like nuts in. It was a cool game though.
Okay, so that's good.
I mean, the game was fun. There's still stories that those friends tell about the D&D game that day. There was a situation where they were trying to get some information. They were in a bar trying to get some information.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it was the only game I have ever allowed a bard character in. I never had a bard before that. I will not have a bard since that.
Did he have to like write songs? Like
no, I wasn't that. I wasn't that cruel with the situation. But just bard characters, there's so many. Either people play them well or people play them awful, and it's like it's also like paladins. Sometimes paladins are either played very well or they're played completely awful and they ruin the whole game. This guy did a good job with the bard. He did fantastic. He decided to have the bard try to lull the audience into kind of at this bar that they were at, lull the audience by singing to them so that the other characters could try to find the guy they were looking for in the bar and try to get him out of the bar to talk to him. Well, bards also have a little bit of a devious nature. And at one point earlier in the adventure, they had come across a vial of some kind of that had some kind of like dust in it.
Right.
And they thought it might be a poison of some kind. They thought it might be some kind of magical thing that would do something. They didn't know what it was. So the bard was going to give it a try to see what would happen.
Right.
And mixed it into a pitcher that came to a table, a pitcher like of ale that came to the table that he was sitting at. Right. This is all the stuff he's discussing doing. He's standing on the table in the middle of this tavern room singing. And he gets everybody to drink from these at this table to drink from this pitcher, you know, drink their drinks from it as part of the song. He's trying to encourage them. Bards can kind of weave magical spells with their songs and whatnot.
Right.
So they all drink from it. Turns out it's a paralytic poison. And I already decided that this was what it was going to be.
You knew exactly what it was going to be.
Because I'm running the game. I'm running the game.
Right. And you can't necessarily, so you've created, so when it comes down to DMs, and this is, I'm kind of interested in this because I know eventually I'm going to be playing one of these games.
Yeah.
Eventually. I want to actually, you know what? That should be the thing we should do for this year. We should set that up.
Get the game we've talked about.
Yeah, I want to get the game going.
Okay.
I want to get the game started at least. And that's
just so everybody knows, Mike wants me to host a D&D game.
Yes.
And do a podcast on it. It's been done by many different people. They've done podcasts of D&D games, but Mike would like to have his first experience of D&D.
I am brand spanking new at this, and I am not exactly sure how I would approach it. I don't know how boring it's going to be, or not boring, or whatever.
It depends on it. Part of it depends on how much you buy into it.
Okay.
As the player, and then part of it depends on whether your DM can weave a decent story together or not. Okay. I don't know. I'm feeling a little worried because I try to do voices for the different characters when I'm on the DM. I'm a little worried about doing voices for the different characters whilst being recorded.
Oh, come on. You'll be fine.
That's a little bit frightening for me. But anyway, we'll see how it goes. But I'd already decided this was a paralytic poison, and what's specific about it is it makes all the muscles spasm at once, and then it paralyzes the person.
Okay.
Well, part of the spasming is that it causes the stomach to contract and spasm, which causes the person to violently throw up.
Right.
Immediately, and then they go into a paralyzed state. So you have this entire table. Turns out I had done some dice rolls, and more than just this table had drank out of that pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And so half of the tavern reacts to this paralytic poison, throwing up everywhere.
Gross.
Which causes the rest of the tavern to throw up, except for...
So they sympathetically throw up.
Yes, and everybody's getting sick except for the one guy that they're looking for, who happens to be at the far end of the bar. The other people are outside. They were going to try to come in, but the doors are basically blocked at this point from people passing out, throwing up. So the only people in this tavern are the bard standing on the table, and this dude who they're looking for, who seems oblivious to everything else, which they were told he would be. He's oblivious to what's going on. He's like, he's in a specific mental state. And they were told that that's the guy that they were looking for. He goes in there and he gets into this like hyper concentrated state. He doesn't notice anything.
I mean, that's a way of finding out who's like the guy you're looking for. Aside from that, you just like walk around from table to table. Well,
That's why the bard was trying to get the whole crowd up and going, is they knew that they'd find the guy that wasn't paying attention.
Wasn't paying attention, right.
So the bard's stuck here in this place by himself.
Okay.
With this guy that they're looking for.
Okay.
So the bard's like, I guess I'm going to climb down off the table and try to go see him. I'm like, good. Roll a dexterity check to see if you slip in the vomit when you climb down off the table. And every so many steps, I made him roll a dexterity check to see if he slips. Every so many steps, I made him roll a constitution check to see if he starts throwing up. And I can say that he fell in the vomit multiple times, threw up a bunch himself, finally got to the guy, grabbed the guy on the shoulder. The guy gets off of his stool. He slips. I roll for him because, hey, if I'm doing it for the bard trying to walk across the room.
Yeah, you're doing it for
everybody. He slips in the vomit. The bard slips in the vomit. They're both on the floor in the vomit kicking and punching at each other.
This just sounds like a Mel Brooks produced like slapstick scene.
It was just a beautiful moment.
More Monty Python maybe than Mel Brooks.
And then finally one of the other characters breaks a hole in one of the windows and fires a crossbow bolt and kills the guy that they're looking for when they're supposed to actually be getting information from him.
Damn it.
So then they have to go find a way to bring him back to life. And it's just, it's part Monty Python sketch, part, you know, but the whole idea of walking across this vomit covered floor and slipping and falling on that floor is just like, yeah, this is what we play these games for, is these moments where it's like, roll your dex check. Oh, damn, you slipped, didn't you? Roll your con check, see if you throw up. Oh, you did. This is great. It's just one of those moments. If you can visualize it in your head, I'm still seeing it in my head. It was a beautiful moment. Beautiful moment. Lots of fun. Everybody laughing, so it was a good time.
That's great.
Yes, I'm a dork, okay? But then the only other New Year's party I can remember other than those two is one I actually had with you, sir. I don't remember how many years ago it was. I'm going to say somewhere between 9 and 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You were living in the place that was across the street from the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember a whole lot about the night, not because I was too drunk, but because I don't think anything overly interesting happened. I'm not sure if that was the roly-poly night or not.
Was that? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I don't know the exact date of the roly-poly night. So
it's a very strange, to anybody who's listening to this, it's a very strange.
Somebody that night got really drunk, got very sick, was throwing up in a trash can and was concerned because they thought they saw a roly-poly in the trash can and was concerned about killing the roly-poly with their kind of toxic vomit. And which I think is a testament to the person. Even in that drunken state, they were worried about the fate of an insect as a result of their specific issues. So, I mean, good on for that person. I will say that, but yeah, that was a funny night. That person was messed up that night. I'm not saying any names because I will protect the innocent in that. I'm sure that they are grateful.
All right.
But I don't remember much about that night other than waking up the next morning. And again, as I guess is standard for when I'm at somebody else's house at New Year's, there was not a damn thing to eat where I was at your place. You didn't have any food there.
No.
Which was pretty common at that point in time. In fact, when you lived there, every time I came over, my wife and I came over, we had a tendency
to bring
food.
You guys ended up bringing food. Yeah, you brought all the food.
You'd have alcohol.
You guys brought awesome food.
But
by the way, you guys brought the perfect party food.
Well, yeah.
Every time.
You have to have stuff that's a little bit on the fatty side, a little bit on the greasy side.
Yep.
Enough to stick into your stomach so that the alcohol doesn't, you know, destroy you.
Yep.
Still did. To many people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Never me, because I had to drive home afterwards, typically. The New Year's party,
yeah,
I didn't.
You kind of had it. You were the overwatcher, mainly.
For the most part, yeah. That's me and our football friend, Scott. Well, my football friend,
yes.
Your friend in general,
he was,
Scott.
Yeah, he was basically...
He's definitely Overwatch.
Yeah.
Which, I actually talked to Scott last night.
Oh.
Yeah, via messaging.
Mm-hmm.
Because we was doing something together, but not together.
What was you doing?
We was watching a foosball game.
The foosball, Bobby?
Foosball is the devil. But I was watching it anyway.
The foosball. You playing the foosball? Ow!
See, this is one of these moments when I do wish, and first of all, applause.
Thank you.
For your wonderful references. It's one of my favorite films.
It's a great movie.
Very good movie.
What Mama Don't Know won't hurt her.
Plus, it's got Fairuza Balk in it, and I love Fairuza Balk. She's just like, she's that girl that you want to date, but you're terrified of dating. Actually, no, you want a date, but you're terrified of breaking up with her.
Creepiest Dorothy ever.
Yeah, well.
She was creepy when she was like eight. I think she was eight in that film.
I mean, there are some people who think that Judy Garland was kind of creepy, too. But Fairuza Balk did definitely have that kind of creepy look to her. And she like.
Who sees Judy Garland and goes, Fairuza Balk, that's a proper. Yeah, it's like Drew Barrymore, where the hell was she? Like, it was the same. Time frame.
At the age of 9, doing drugs already, I think.
Yeah,
but,
actually,
I mean.
No. She was, yeah. Yeah, she was twacked out.
She was all starting fires.
Good. Yep.
And hey, speaking of which, why wasn't she included in the new Xfinity commercials? That's a little sad. Have you seen the new Xfinity commercials?
No.
Didn't we talk about them? The new ET Xfinity commercials?
Oh, yeah. I saw the, oh, yeah.
She's not included.
No, she's not.
That sucks. But anyway.
Well, she's also not like 6.
No.
Oh, but they have Elliot. Why not?
Yeah,
man?
They have him as an adult.
Yeah.
No charisma. No charisma.
Yeah. You're walking into the living room being like, hey, Elliot, what'd you do with the salsa? And then see him there. Like, what?
Yeah.
Or something.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I mean, they used the...
so lame. The way I said that was just lame as hell.
They used the house in Charlie's Angels. In the first Charlie's Angels.
Why is she not... In any of them.
I don't know.
That's two movies they've missed an opportunity for, right?
What?
Any more? Wasn't she, wasn't Drew Barrymore in Charlie's Angels?
No,
it was Drew Barrymore, it was
not
Lucy
in the
Liu,
first,
and it was...
In the first Charlie's Angels, in the very
like
first
the film,
Charlie's
right?
Angels.
Yeah,
yeah, the first film,
it's Drew
Charlie's Angels.
Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu, and Cameron Diaz, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
In that first film, they have her, when she finds out who the bad guy is,
yeah,
it looks like she gets shot. But she actually jumps backwards in enough time, shoots the window out behind her. She falls out the window naked except for wrapped up in a sheet.
Okay.
And then she falls in a backyard and she comes up to the
I haven't seen it in a while.
She comes up to the glass door in the backyard and there's two kids playing PlayStation inside the house. I think they're playing Killer Instinct. But they're playing PlayStation, which they shouldn't have had on PlayStation because it's a Super Nintendo game. But they're playing PlayStation, so maybe it... No, you know what they're playing?
What?
They're playing two-player on a game that is not two-player. I think they're playing Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, that's funny.
They're playing two-player on
that's
a non-two-player game. I could be wrong. I'll
grossly
have to go back
inaccurate,
and check.
Damn it.
But she opens the... She asks to be let in the sliding glass door. She's got a sheet covering her. But it's the house, the sliding glass door, and the living room. That's the house from E.T. They specifically shot that scene in
they
that
did
house.
That yeah. there on purpose? Yeah. Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
But in case you're wondering what I'm talking about, the new Xfinity commercial for over the holidays, it's about reconnecting with people. It's a play on E.T. E.T. shows back up. Elliot is an adult now that has kids of his own.
Right.
E.T. comes in the house. They have a bunch of different interactions. One of the better ones is Elliot's kid is showing him a tablet and space and the internet, and the kid goes, boom, or pow, and does like thing like his head exploding.
Yeah.
And E.T. mimics the same motion, so cute. It's kind of cute. And then E.T. goes back into his ship and flies away after spending a little bit of time with him and whatnot. So it's kind of a cute little mini sequel to E.T., which is kind of nice. You don't need a full sequel. Just this little mini of, hey, I come to check on you. Oh, you got your own family. You're a great dad with your own family. I expected as much because, you know, you have a good heart because, like, we share heartbeat and stuff. And I'm going back to space. So it's a cute little moment, a little bit of fun. There were some people who thought, oh, my gosh, they're doing a real an actual sequel to it. And E.T. don't need a sequel.
No, leave it alone. Leave it alone. E.T.'s fine. Don't do a sequel.
But they got the original kid that played Elliot to be the adult in there.
Yeah, I did
see him.
He's
been an actor for years.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, how did we get on that tangent?
I have no idea.
I want Reese's Pieces now.
Oh, man.
Don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Reese's Pieces are like...
You said you were talking to Scott.
Oh, right. Foosball.
The foosball, Bobby.
Foosball. Last game of the season was on last weekend of the season. Regular season.
Last game of the regular season?
Last game of the regular season was last night. Last whole weekend of the regular season was yesterday.
Oh. Oh, yeah. It's coming up already, huh? Super Bowl's going to be in February?
Yes. Next week are the start of the playoffs.
Holy smokes.
Yep,
oh, this is where it gets real.
This is where it gets real.
I don't know anything.
Well, there is something you should know.
Is there?
For the first time in 10 years, the New England Patriots do not have a first-round bye.
Whoa.
I will explain.
Okay, I was going to say, you'll have to explain that to me. I think you did before.
There are six teams from each the AFC and the NFC that go into the playoffs.
Yes, and then there's a bunch of teams that are convoluted and way the hell away from
their
conference.
Hold on, no.
Or from their...
Let me finish.
Okay.
So there's six teams from each AFC and NFC.
Right.
They go to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The other, so that's 12 total.
Yep.
In the playoffs. The other 20 teams go home.
Okay.
They're done. Bye-bye. Go home.
Okay, bye.
They're clearing out their lockers today.
Okay, bye-bye.
Multiple coaches actually have already been fired. Yeah, the New York Giants head coach was fired.
Damn.
The Browns head coach was fired right after the game yesterday.
They're like, you lose this,
you're done. He's a one-year head coach. He lost the team a long time ago.
That's not good at all.
Yeah, they went out and spent a lot of money in the offseason to get people. He lost the team a long time ago. He's the Browns coach. Remember I showed you the footage of Myles Garrett, the Browns defensive lineman, hitting the Steelers quarterback with the helmet?
That's right.
Yeah, he's the coach of the Browns, or he was the coach of the Browns. He's gone.
Oh.
Bye-bye.
I mean, yeah, you can't.
You can't let your team get away with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. That's the big one, man. Yeah. Like, if you can't hold that amount of conduct and control over your players.
So the way it happens is you have six teams, okay? And they're seeded.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the one seed, the best seed, second, third, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, okay? Mm-hmm. The 1, 2, 3, and 4 are going to be the conference champions. Again, division champions.
Okay.
Each conference has four divisions.
Okay.
Four teams in each division.
Yes.
Okay. So you win your division championship, it means you have the best record in your division, and you've beat, you know, enough of the other teams in your division.
Okay.
You're either the 1, 2, 3, or 4 based on your entire record.
Okay.
In the AFC, for the last 10 years, I'll go back. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay.
So the number one and the number two seeds,
uh-huh,
no matter what, uh-huh, have the first weekend of the playoffs off.
Okay.
Okay. The number three seed plays the number six seed, always.
Three plays six.
Four plays five. Three gets to play six because six is considered a lower quality team. It's a lower seeded team.
Right.
So the highest seeded team plays the lowest seeded team.
So if six beats three, they take three spot.
No, if six beats three, then six will go on to play the number one seed in the next round.
Oh, whoa.
Because the thing is, whatever the highest seed gets to play, the highest seed left over gets to play the lowest seed. That's kind of the reward for being higher seeded.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In the middle of this, there are no rematches in the playoffs. Is that correct?
No, it's one and done. Playoffs
okay,
are one
so
and done.
Six could end up heading to the Super Bowl if six beats three
rare.
And then one. Yeah. No, just out of curiosity.
Six,
right?
Would have to be first. Let's say you want six to go, right?
Right.
So the first round of the playoffs would be 3 against 6, 4 against 5.
Right.
So 6 wins, let's say.
Okay.
Who do you want to win out of 4 and 5? Just pick one.
5. Okay. Oh, so let's just do 4. 4.
4. So 4 wins.
Okay.
4 would go on to play the second seed.
4 would play 2.
6 would play the first seed.
6 would play 1.
Okay.
Because 6 beat 3.
So if 6 wins,
Who's
going to win out of 2 and 4? Pick one.
4.
Okay. So
let's
then
say
it
4
would be,
comes up.
Then it would be 6 playing against 4.
In the Super Bowl?
No, in the conference championship.
Oh, we're talking conferences still.
Just
but there's two separate conferences, right?
Exactly.
Okay. AFC and NFC, and they do that with both
and
conferences, right?
Yes, that's the same thing that happens
and
on both sides.
And then who comes out on top on either conference goes to the Super
goes
Bowl,
goes to the
right?
Super Bowl,
okay, okay,
yes.
Okay.
So,
been a bit, but this is the point where it gets, this is the real stuff. This is where it's one and done.
One and done. And so
one and done. You're out when you lose.
So your first seeded and your second seeded teams get a bye on the first round of the playoffs. They don't play that week.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's why you want that time off.
Right.
Also,
you need recovery.
The higher seeded team gets home field advantage.
Oh, so one and do.
So now, let's say it comes down to the
first
to the
week,
conference
four plays
games.
5, 3 plays 6, and then they play the next team on their home turf in 1 and 2, right?
So the winner of the first one and two is always on home turf.
1 and 2 is
well,
on home
not
turf
always.
In second week, right?
When it so example for you, let's go back to the example of your 3 versus 6,
okay,
and your 4 versus 5,
right?
So 3 is home team, 4 is home team. They're higher
oh,
seated, so they
5 get, plays 4 at 4,
yes.
3 plays 6 at 3,
yes.
Okay, and then winner of either of those play 1 at home and play 2 at home,
yes.
Okay.
And then if one is still there after that weekend, if 1 beats 6 in our example,
mm-hmm.
and 2 doesn't matter who wins between 2 and 4,
okay,
but if 1 beats 6,
uh-huh,
whoever wins from 2 and 4 has to go to 1. 1's home team.
Oh, whoa.
That's the if you're in the number
so,
one no, seed.
If you're in the number one, you're playing at home every time.
Exactly. You get to sleep in your own bed. You get to play in your own field.
You get the best conditions possible.
Number one
travel, no lag, no BS.
Number one seeds more often
go to the... So they always get
the
best seat, yeah.
Yeah, they more often go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So, this is the first time in 10 years that the New England Patriots are not a number one or number two seed.
What seed did they hit? Three?
They got 3.
No
way. They got beat by the Dolphins yesterday. And they
the
were playing. They were playing for the number two seed position because they didn't get number one. The Baltimore Ravens got number one.
I haven't heard of
the
Dolphins doing decently in a while.
They didn't. They had a terrible season. They were tanking all season, and they beat the Patriots yesterday.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, the Lions, the Detroit Lions, who are mm-hmm. also having a garbage season,
mm-hmm.
almost beat the Packers yesterday. Who
Damn.
Was set up to be either the number 1, 2, or 3 seed, depending on Sunday night's
depending
game.
Depending on who wins where.
Well, Sunday night's game was going to set up everything.
Uh-huh.
So the Packers barely beat the Lions. The New Orleans Saints, who also would have been either the number 1, 2, or 3 seed, depending on what happened, ended up beating the Panthers. But the sad point is, because of the way that seeding is determined, they were going to be behind Green Bay no matter what. They have the same
cool.
record,
yeah.
But because of the different teams that they beat and lost to and whatnot, they were Green Bay was always going to be seeded just one higher than the New Orleans Saints. But Green Bay could have possibly walked away with the number one seed, and New Orleans could have walked away with the number two seed,
mm-hmm.
depending on what happened on Sunday night's game.
Right.
Because Sunday night's game was the Seattle Seahawks
uh-huh.
hosting the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, man. Seahawks v. 49ers?
So,
oh boy.
If the Seahawks were to have won last night's game, they would have been the 3 seed.
Okay.
Green Bay 1, New Orleans 2.
Okay.
They still would have had to play next weekend, but they would have been a home team next weekend.
Right.
Playing. If the 49ers were to win last night,
right,
they would get the number 1 seed.
Because their season's been kick ass.
Because they beat Green Bay, even though they'd have the same schedule, 13-3 if they were to win.
Yeah.
They have the same schedule as the New Orleans Saints and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
But they beat both Green Bay and New Orleans this year. So they would be higher seeded.
Cool.
They would have the number one.
Yeah.
Again, Niners win, they get number one. Seahawks would be number 5. Seahawks win, they get number 3. Niners would be number 5.
Cool. Okay.
So problem with being number 5 is most likely you're not going to be at home at any point in time.
No, yeah.
Five and six are like, mm-mm. So well, this six was, is definitely not, but...
Six is not an enviable place to be.
Right.
Although it's happened before. I think the New York Giants that went and beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl and stopped their perfect season were a five seed.
Wow.
So, I mean, it can happen. You can go and you can go get all the way to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, but the odds are a lot lower.
Right, of course.
So, the Niners were at the Seahawks.
Cool. Okay.
I'm going to tell you something right now, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is the if you were ever going to start watching football, this would be the 1 year to watch football. Because the San Francisco 49ers this year, I'm not talking about their winning record.
Mm-hmm.
I am talking about at least five of their games this year would be contenders for game of the year.
Really?
Because of the fact that they have been so hard fought and they have come down to literally the last second of the game.
Wow.
2 weeks ago, the Niners played the Atlanta Falcons,
mm-hmm.
who have not been a good team this year,
mm-hmm.
and lost the Atlanta Falcons on a last-second play where Falcons receiver Julio Jones caught the ball mm-hmm. directly on the goal line,
mm-hmm.
and the ball was just literally nose over the goal line. Last seconds of the game, it got called a touchdown. Or last few seconds of the game, it got called a touchdown. Even though he was stopped by a defender
mm-hmm.
before actually getting into the end zone, the fact that the ball broke the plane of the goal line, touchdown.
Wow.
Falcons win the game.
Whoa.
Last night,
okay,
the Seattle Seahawks came back from a 13-point halftime deficit. Seven plays in the red zone. Seven plays. To try to score the winning touchdown in the last minute of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of weird calls, a bunch of weird plays happening. By the way, I don't know if you heard or not, probably not because you don't follow football. Marshawn Lynch, do you know that name?
Yes.
Beast Mode?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he re-signed with the, he came out of retirement and re-signed with the Seahawks, played last night.
What the hell?
Scored
wait, they just, hold on, wait a minute. They just brought him out of nowhere?
Yep. He scored a touchdown.
Why? Because they were playing the Niners?
No, because they lost two of their two running backs last week.
So they signed. Is he just on temporarily for the rest of the season?
One year contract. Yeah.
What the hell?
Base contract. He just came in to try to get a chance to win a Super Bowl again. He scored a touchdown.
Okay.
They're actually about to have him score another touchdown when the Seahawks ended up with a penalty. Delay of game penalty that moved him back from the 1 yard line to the 6 yard line.
Okay.
This was after three attempts to get into the end zone and couldn't get there. They do three more attempts to get into the end zone. Last play of the game,
mm-hmm.
or second to last play of the game, I should say, was a pass from Russell Wilson to his tight end.
Okay.
That was right on the goal line.
Okay.
This time, the 49ers stopped him from breaking the plane.
Whoa. Whoa.
It was on a fourth down play. Stopped him from breaking the play. The Niners get the ball back. Have to run one play to be able to kill the 9 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah.
Seahawks had no timeouts left. Run a quarterback sneak. Got it out a few yards.
Mm-hmm.
Game over.
Done.
First time in 8 games. So that means 8 years. It's the first time in 9 years, actually. Because if it's 8 games, that's, well... There may be some playoff games. So the first time in 8 games
mm-hmm.
that the 49ers beat the Seattle Seahawks.
Whoa.
At CenturyLink Field up in Seattle. They've beat them once or twice in Santa Clara at Levi Stadium.
Oh, uh-huh.
But this is the first time in 8 games they beat them at CenturyLink Field.
Son of a gun, dude.
To give themselves the number one seed and home field advantage all through the playoffs.
Wow.
Yep.
So they got it. So they've got the number one.
Number one seed. Green Bay is number two. Let's see. The Saints get to play the Minnesota Vikings,
mm-hmm.
which will be an interesting game because both of them are dome teams and they're playing at New Orleans. So that and they've had history in the playoffs before. The Vikings have beat the Saints in the playoffs before. So, you know, Saints are a pretty good team, but the Vikings are one of the teams that have the better chance against them, I would say, in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Seattle gets to go to Philadelphia and play Philadelphia because somehow or another, the Philadelphia Eagles made it into the playoffs. Not sure how. Actually, I am sure how. The Dallas Cowboys suck this year. That's how. But the Seahawks get to go play in Philadelphia, which actually is with how many people they have injured and the way Philadelphia is playing right now, it's actually almost an evenly matched game. Kind of hope that Philly edges out the Seahawks there, so we don't have to see them as Niner fans a third time in the year. Because the problem is, if the Saints win, right? Saints beat the Vikings. That's 3-6.
Mm-hmm.
If the Seahawks beat the Eagles, that's 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
5 goes to play number 1.
Ooh, man.
Which means we'd have another game against Seattle.
Yeah, and it would be another. Ooh, man. Ooh. That's well,
as it is, the game the Niners played against the Saints, I have to show you one of the final plays of that game, the George Kittle play. This is probably the play that epitomizes what the 49ers have been doing this season. It was just a quick out route for a couple of yards on a fourth down play. And George Kittle, the tight end for the Niners, you probably don't even know who George Kittle is, and
nope.
I'd love to show you George Kittle because I think he might be the thing that would bring you in to watching the Niners play just because of who he is.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you this. He's a wrestling fan.
Okay.
He, at one point during the, in the locker room at the end of one of the games, he posted a video of himself. Can you smell what the 49ers are cooking?
Oh, boy.
Trying on the Rock thing.
Cute.
Yeah, well, The Rock found it.
Shut up.
And The Rock retweeted it.
Nice.
And has labeled George Kittle the people's tight end.
Oh, dude.
For a wrestling fan. And then he was actually on... He was at a WWE event with Jimmy Garoppolo and a couple of the other guys from the team.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the wrestlers that was wrestling that night was a former football player from the same college he went to.
Cool.
And the guy ran out into the crowd and jumped in the crowd and was giving George Kittle a hug the whole time when he was showing up, and then went out and wrestled. And Kittle has said that once his football career is over, he'd consider a wrestling career. So he wore a shirt last night that was actually making fun of his quarterback.
Uh-huh.
There was at one point the Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback, is being interviewed by Aaron Andrews,
mm-hmm.
who's a pretty good looking sports interviewer, sports reporter. She's interviewing him after a game, and she's like, "So, holding the mic, you know, what does it feel like to be 8-0? Because at that point, the Niners were 8-0.
Mm-hmm.
Holds the mic up to his face, and he says, "Feels good, baby." And she just gets this like embarrassed look, like, "Oh, okay." Jimmy Garoppolo is a pretty good looking guy.
Right. I mean,
you've seen him, right? You've seen pictures of him?
Yeah.
He's a pretty good looking guy, but he's like, "Feels good, baby." And she just gets that embarrassed look, like, "Oh, he's flirting with me." He's not. That's actually just how Jimmy Garoppolo talks to everybody. He literally says that kind of stuff all the time, no matter who he's talking to. It's just his way of talking.
Right.
So last night, as George Kittle's doing interviews, he's got a shirt on that says, "Feels good, baby, Jimmy G."
Nice.
Quoting his quarterback, poking fun. This is a fun guy. Anyway,
yeah.
He gets this little out route pass against the Saints. Just supposed to get maybe 4 yards. Well, the defender falls down that's going to tackle him.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts running. And at this point, the Niners are trying to get into field goal range to try to win the game against the Saints, who they've been. This is both teams scored well over 40 points in this game. This is a huge game.
Damn, that's a lot,
actually. So the next defender comes after him. First grabs him by the shoulder, then grabs his face mask.
Oh.
Holds onto his face mask. George Kittle keeps running with this dude hanging off of his face mask. It takes two other Saints to tackle George Kittle, and the dude is hanging on his face mask the whole time.
And did they get...
They got an extra 15-yard penalty on top of it, didn't they? Yeah, they flagged it and got the 15-yard penalty. The key is not the penalty, and even Kittle. Kittle wasn't like, you know, waving down the refs or complaining or nothing.
Yeah.
After it was happening, he got my face mask. He just had the dude hanging from his face mask.
It's all right, fine. He just keeps going. Yeah.
Just kept running.
Nice.
And it's like, that's what this team is. We don't care what's happening. We're just going to keep going.
Nice. Dig it.
But anyway, yes, the 49ers made the number one seed. I mean, they still have 3 games they have to play, hopefully.
Right.
2 playoff games, and if they win both of those, they get to go to the Super Bowl.
Nice.
The downside is, you know who looks like they might be heading to the Super Bowl on the AFC side? The frickin' Ravens. And I don't know how well I can deal with a 49ers-Ravens Super Bowl again. Because that was hurtful the first time it happened. I'm a little frightened about having to watch a rehash of that Super Bowl. Mm. But, hey, I have reason to watch football in January that my team is involved in. I haven't had reason to do that in a long time. So it feels good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we've talked enough for today. What do you think?
I think we're good.
We didn't get to what we're looking forward to in 2020 other than the D&D game.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's okay. We'll keep it a mystery.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So, Mike, where can people listen to us?
Well, you can listen to us at thezennialchronicles.com, or if you don't want to type that much, zenchron.com. Speaking of Zenchron, you can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. We are all available on a bunch of podcast websites. We are on Spotify. We are on Google. We are on TuneIn. We are on... There's more than
Apple.
We are... Yes, Apple's a little different. There's an RSS feed that you have to type in order to get us on Apple. But you can once you put it in.
Yeah.
But we're all over the place. And we're working on getting more.
And the YouTubes.
We are on the YouTubes as well. So here's the deal. You can probably listen to about the most recent 10 podcasts on our regular page, our website, and on these other mediums to listen to us. But if you want to hear our entire archive of all of our podcasts,
also if you want to watch the little short video of the first time Mike spilled his coffee,
go to our YouTube page. Go ahead and check us out there. We can also so that's pretty much it. And while you're there,
that stuff is posted on the is also posted on the Facebook. And you were saying, while you're there, what do they need to do?
While you're there, if you're listening to this as a video on YouTube, make sure you click the like button. The like button. And the
subscribe
button. And click the little bell icon so you get notified when we put a new video up.
Bell.
Click the bell.
Click the bell.
Do it.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you again next week.
Well, have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.